Well, it's a delight to be with you again today. First day of summer and Father's Day. And I wish you the great blessings in each circumstance. Today we're looking at a passage in Ezekiel 22, verses 23 to 31. What difference can one man make? And yes, it's Father's Day. And yes, I kind of had that in mind with this sermon, but it applies to all of us, regardless of gender or role. Dr. George Sweeting was the president of Moody Bible Institute in the late 60s. And he wrote about visiting Niagara Falls one spring, and the ice was melting on the river, it was flowing down and over the falls, and he was intrigued with the gulls that would ride down on the chunks of ice, and they would pick at the carcasses of the dead fish that were partially frozen in the ice. And he watched them carefully, and they would get just to the brink of the falls, spread out their great wings, and fly back up and do it all over again. But there was one gull that really caught his attention because it seemed to delay. And he says, I wondered when it would leave. It was engrossed in the carcass of the fish. And when it finally came to the brink of the falls, out went its powerful wings. The bird flapped and flapped and even lifted the ice out of the water. I thought it would escape, but it had delayed too long so that its claws had frozen into the ice. And the weight of the ice was too great, and the gull plunged into the abyss. This is a really great illustration for our society, for our world today. Our families, our community are in a similar crisis. We look around and people seem to be consumed in a feeding frenzy, if you will, indulging in all that this world has to offer. So you go out to our lakes and recreation areas and you find that they're full. Sports arenas are packed out, especially after we've eased up on the COVID restrictions. Sports and recreation goods have become a multi-billion dollar industry. Health and fitness businesses have sprung up. We're obsessed, it seems, with the notion that we can live forever. But in all of our getting, we've been unable to secure peace of mind. We've not been able to locate the path to meaningful living. We've not been able to purchase permanence in our relationships, whether we look into the home or into society in general. So the churches remain half full, written off as non-essential in the quest for the good life. You remember the old beer commercials that challenged us to go for the gusto. But we come up short. We felt that we were free, but we found ourselves imprisoned in the grip of sin, just as this gull had its claws imprisoned in the block of ice. So we live in constant crisis, it seems, struggling to be free, but finding ourselves pulled ever down by the weight of our folly. In the midst of this calamity, God has always and continues to search for men who will stand in the gap. Can you make a difference in this immense struggle? Of course you can. And we'll see that in this passage from Ezekiel. Ezekiel 22, 23 to 31. Again, the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, say to the land. And as I read this, I want you to pay close attention to the different groups of individuals that God addresses in this. You're a land that has no rain or showers in the day of wrath. There is a conspiracy amongst her princes, within her like a roaring lion tearing its prey. They devour people, take treasures and precious things, and make many widows within her. Her priests do violence to my law and profane my holy things. They do not distinguish between the holy and the common. They teach that there is no difference between unclean and the clean. And they shut their eyes to the keeping of my Sabbaths, so that I am profaned among them. Her officials within her are like wolves tearing their prey. They shed blood and kill people to make unjust gain. Her prophets whitewash these deeds for them by false visions and lying divinations. They say, "This is what the sovereign Lord says," when the Lord has not spoken. The people of the land practice extortion, commit robbery. They oppress the poor and the needy and mistreat the alien, denying them justice. That's a really important one for our world today. I looked for a man among them who would build up the wall and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land so that I would not have to destroy it. But I found none. So I will pour out my wrath on them and consume them with my fiery anger, bringing down on their own heads all that they have done, declares the sovereign Lord. This is a hard saying. And you understand when he's talking about standing in the gap, when a city was destroyed or attacked, you know, they would breach the walls. They would tear a hole in the walls to get access and take over the city. And so what God is saying is that the whole society has experienced this. There's a great gaping hole in their wall. And he's looking for someone who will rebuild the wall and then stand in that gap on behalf of the Lord. Quite a great image. This passage dates back at least 2,500 years. But couldn't this have been taken out of today's news? Sure it could. It describes incredible greed, violence, disregard for life, conspiracy, and oppression. The rulers are described as an attacking lion, mercilessly tearing their prey asunder, devouring the people, and especially those who are weak. The government officials are described as ravenous wolves, killing for unjust gain. The religious establishment is accused of forsaking the law of God and setting up perverted standards of conduct. And then the prophets. The prophets should have been calling the people back to God's way, but instead they were in league with the public officials, justifying their lawless deeds, speaking as though they were speaking for God when they had not heard a word from God. And finally, the people themselves had allowed the greed to run rampant, cheating and stealing, oppressing the poor, oppressing the needy, and taking advantage of those who had no economic power and refused to give them justice. The society was permeated through and through by complacency and self-seeking and injustice. Our society is not any better off than the one that's described here. We stand by complacently while our neighbor's family falls apart because of alcohol or abuse. We watch idly as fellow businessmen cheat the government out of taxes or cheat other businessmen or the public. We do nothing while our children are introduced to influences like drugs. All the while we insist with our rosy-colored glasses, "Oh, little Johnny, little Susie would never do something like that." But all the while, little Johnny and little Susie are calling out for help, and they will take it from wherever they can get it. They're watching Daddy's example when it comes to these matters. We don't have to travel to Chicago or St. Louis or Memphis or Nashville to see these kinds of things. It's right here in our own backyard. Our community harbors enough of this as it is, and it's overwhelming. And so when we watch this kind of thing, we're prone to throw up our hands and say, "Well, what can one person do? You know, if God really wanted to fix this, he could." But the message in this passage and all of Scripture is that whenever there's a crisis, God does respond. He responds by seeking a person who will stand in the gap, who will rebuild the wall of righteousness. He responds by seeking out persons to do the work of His will, a work that responds to crisis with redemptive solutions. If any of you have been around raccoons, maybe you've had or knew some, known someone who had one as a pet, you know that at about the age of 24 months, the raccoon will go through a glandular change. I guess it's their own teenage years, I don't know. But because of this physical change, they often will become aggressive and will even attack their owners. And you know, a 30-pound raccoon can best a 100-pound dog in a scrap. So it's not something to be trifled with. When I was in college, I worked one summer at a Christian camp in East Texas, and we had a high school kid that worked in the kitchen, and he'd purchased a raccoon from a guy. And one of the groundskeepers had warned him about this change, that it would eventually take place, and warned him of the danger. And the guy, I remember, he said, "Oh no, it'll be different with Bandit. Bandit would never hurt me. Look for yourself. He's so tame. He's so friendly." But by the end of that summer, Bandit had gone through the change. And this young man was hospitalized with facial cuts. He had been attacked by his raccoon, apparently for no apparent reason. And so Bandit was released into the wild. Sin comes to us dressed in adorable guise. We play with it, we laugh about it, we allow it to lure us down the path of destruction, but the results are just as predictable as they were with this young raccoon owner. So our churches are in crisis today. It's a crisis of disinterest in the things of God. The men of the community can be found in the woods, on the lake, in front of the tube, at the ball game, absorbed with their smartphones, anywhere but the house of worship. Our children are watching our actions, and our actions are speaking louder than our words. We need to remember that church is not women and children's business. It's God's business. So the men of the community, when are we going to see that the brink of the falls is fast approaching? When are we going to repent and truly seek God and lead out in our families in the service of God? When are we going to make Christ the Lord of our households? The time is now. So in this passage, we see the crisis. We also see the answer. After God had described the sin and the horror that He had seen in the life of the nation, He said, "I looked for a man among them who would build up the walls and stand before me in the gap on behalf of the land, so that I would not have to destroy it. But I found none." You know, God gets a bad rap about being a God of judgment. He is a holy God. And in this one statement, we hear immense patience and reluctance. And of course, He ultimately did find a man to stand in the gap, didn't He? And that's through His own Son, Jesus. But what difference can one person make? Well, plenty. God is a merciful God. He's slow to wrath. He sought out one person who would intercede on behalf of the nation. One man who would repair the wall of righteousness, the wall that had fallen down because of sin, who would champion the cause of righteousness by standing in the gap, fighting back the effects of sin, pleading the case for lost humanity before God. Which brings to mind some other people who did stand in the gap. Think of Moses. He pled for the people during the Exodus. After they had fashioned the golden calf, God had decided to wipe the whole nation out and make a new promise with Moses. But Moses pled with God not to destroy them. He sought for another Abraham. Abraham, who prayed that God would spare Sodom and Gomorrah. God, if there's just 50 righteous If there's just 45 righteous people, Lord, if there's just 10 righteous people, would you not destroy the city? He was, of course, seeking to spare his nephew, Lot, and his family. God is seeking for one person whose heart is turned toward the things of God, whose desire is to serve God and to do His will. One person, one who would stand in the gap. Edward Everett Hale was a 19th century clergyman and author. He wrote this, I'm sure you've heard of it before. I am only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. And something I ought to do, I can do, and by the grace of God, I will. We are not responsible for the whole wide world. That's God's concern, but we are responsible for the world around us that we touch and that we influence. And we're especially responsible for our families and their welfare and their needs. And there's no greater need than their spiritual condition and nurturance. There is a great deal that rides on our faithfulness to the call of God to be good stewards of His work. God needs men to stand in the gap, in the break, in the weak place. God sends men to close the door that the enemy has been using to gain entry, to overthrow our families, the church, the community. Men of character, just as Abraham made intercession for the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, as Moses stood in the gap on behalf of Israel in the wilderness, or as Christ prayed for Peter when Satan desired to have him and to sift him like wheat. You remember Jesus told Peter. But Peter was short-tempered, spoke out of turn, and was a little too bold at times. But Christ did not give up on him. And He doesn't give up on us. So let us be done with lesser interests. Let us give God the top priority that He demands in our lives. Let us be found faithful, God's men of the hour. Let us lead our community, lead our church into a new era of revival. It is time, men and ladies, to stand and be counted. God searches for men of the gap who will rebuild the walls of righteousness that are crumbling around us because of our complacency and our neglect. And then we see in this passage the result. The stakes are highest and they're eternal in nature. God calls us to take the crossroad, if you will. In Mark 8:34 and following, Jesus said that we must take up our crosses and follow Him. That in saving our lives, we would lose them. But if we give up our lives, we would save them. Amen. And then He asked those two piercing questions. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet forfeit his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? When we choose to go our own way, we disregard spiritual matters and God's great salvation. We're playing around with our eternity, and not only ours, but the eternal future of our families. To our kids, we may not be able to do any wrong. To our families, as the father or husband goes, so goes the entire household. I saw one study that said that when both parents are active in Bible study and worship, 72% of their children will be active as they grow older. Mm-hmm. When the father alone is active in Bible study and worship, 55% of the children will be active when they're grown. Mm-hmm. When the mother only is active in Bible study and worship, 15% will be active when they're grown. When neither parent is active in Bible study and worship, 6% will be active when they're grown. If we heed the call to stand in the gap, to be God's people, we will bring fresh winds of life and light into our existence. God will send times of refreshing from above. Mm-hmm. When we stand in the gap, we will win others from sin and death. When we stand in the gap and intercede on behalf of our lost friends and family, God will listen. He will be merciful. But if we fail, then sure destruction will befall our homes and our lives. And we need to remember that to choose not to choose is to choose, and not to serve God or accept His salvation. There once was a salesman. He had really worked hard to win a particular account, but he had failed at every attempt to win the purchasing agent to give him an account, to give him a contract. His boss said, try as we would, he couldn't get in to see the purchasing agent. And then as he was passing the flight insurance desk at the airport, inspiration hit. He took out a policy for $500,000. He named the purchasing agent as the beneficiary. He attached his business card with the paperwork, and he sent it to this purchasing agent. His note said, my last thoughts were of you. And he won the account. You know, we can be so imaginative when it comes to caring about business. Shouldn't we be at least that concerned when it comes to another person's soul? After all, hasn't God shown the greatest interest in all of us when He sent His Son, Jesus, to die on the cross for our sins? So we are in a crisis as a society, as a community, in our families. They're crumbling around us. Things are falling apart. And I know this is such a picker-upper kind of thought here. But the things that we have trusted in have proven to be untrustworthy. And that's what this whole list of these different leaders and individuals and even the people in this passage represent. Things that should have been trustworthy, should have been devoted to God, instead were not. There are threats all around, but the greatest threat is to our eternal selves. So God seeks men who will stand in the gap and rebuild the wall of righteousness. So the question for each of us, whether we're dads or not, whether we're men or not, is will we heed the call? Will we take a stand for Christ? If not, God will look elsewhere, and He will use people who are available. Mm-hmm. The time to act is now. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious God, help us to be people who stand in the gap on behalf of righteousness, on behalf of the gospel, in our families, in our homes, in our community, Lord, in every contact and way that we have during each week. We are indeed frail creatures of dust. We don't have the eternal perspective that You do. So we ask that You'd give us a sensitivity to where You're at work in our midst, that we might join You there. Lord, continue to bless this congregation. Keep our eyes focused on You. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen.